Okay.
But if you look at the history of what happened, what's left out of my book is the philosophy, or at least a big part of the philosophy. Meaning people like you and your community. People don't know how important this community is. It's an astounding it's an astounding story.
Unfortunately, like, I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Like, this is good. I don't want to be mean, but it sounds like you were, I just think, like, I agree that, like,
yeah,
this book is worth written. That book idea is worth writing, and in fact has been written at least once. Tom Chivers, have you heard of him?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think this is, I don't think you're a good person to write this book, but specifically because no one is going to talk to you. Right?
Wow.
Right? Maybe I misunderstood the idea.
No, no. I mean, here's the way I think about it. You know, the first book was about people who believe in the idea of the neural network.
Okay.
And you follow these really important people.
Yeah.
The second book is about the idea of what we now call AGI. And the people who believe in this.
Yeah.
Right? And when most people did not. And in so many ways, this belief brought it about, right?
Yeah.
Or brought about something that now people think are on that path. And, I would argue I'm a good person to do that.
Well, no, but like specific, so like as a journalist, you need like lots and lots of sources.
Yeah.
And so insofar as, and I mean, obviously, like, I don't want to, like, lots of people believe in AGI, not just my little weird internet cult. But among my weird little internet cult, like, a lot of people, like, don't want to talk to you because of the Scott Alexander thing.
Yeah, I understand that, but, you know, I'm a journalist. Why makes
you can find enough people who will talk to write a book.
That's right.
Okay.
And, I just think it's so important and it's so interesting, right? And, it deserves attention, and you can, you know, you can follow this this thread, you know, from the Scopian mailing list, and through all these people right up to, you know, these AI labs that are now doing this work, right? Anyways, it's so interesting to me, but I don't know how do you see,
like, even like Scott Aaronson said he wouldn't work with you anymore. Sorry to be hyped up on this.
I get it.
Change of subject.
I get it.
Okay.
You and I have talked a lot about that, and we can talk more if you want.
I don't know.
But I don't know. What do you think the influence of your community is to all that?
I mean, I don't immediately have a quick answer, but, like, because, again, from our perspective, like, the thing, like, there's, like, the idea that people believed in causing the thing, like, from the existential risk concern perspective, this was actually a bad thing. Like, oh no, this, like, we devoted our entire lives to this topic, and it turns out our impact was negative by making the bad thing happen sooner.
Yeah.
And so there are some people who feel kind of sad about that.
That's the idea. It's fascinating. Uh-huh. Where do you come down?
I mean, so I'm feeling a little bit less doomy the past couple years, just because, I don't know if I linked you the sort of play blog post that I wrote. I wrote a few posts, like, in the form of a play of, like, the two characters, like, arguing about, because, like, so again, as discussed previously, there's this theoretical idea of, like, okay, optimal intelligence is going to have a utility function. If you don't get that exactly right, it kills everything.
Yeah.
but like large language models aren't like that, you know?
But they're not.
They're like you're specific. So if you, you know, train a neural net to, you're basically finding like the simplest function with respect to the neural net prior that reproduces your training data.
Yeah.
If your training data is a bunch of humans doing cognitive tasks as expressed in language on the internet,
yeah,
that in itself is not dangerous, because for the same reason that like humans in themselves doing cognitive tasks, like the original humans that like produce that training data are not themselves going to do this crazy paperclip maximization thing. And so if you have that start, if you can like, so like, this is a reason not to be scared of large language models, and a reason to think like, hey, this, because like, you know, beforehand you might think, well, you know, how could you have this theoretical argument about utility maximizers, and you'd also just sort of think about like, well, how would you get the idea of justice or freedom or fairness into a computer? It's impossible. We're all doomed.
Yeah.
And actually, it turns out that you can. It kind of looks like you can get those ideas into the computer.
Right.
Which, again, that doesn't mean humanity is out of the woods.
Yeah.
Like, there's still lots and lots of ways for things to go wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, large language models themselves are not the kind of super AI that people are afraid of.
Right.
And particularly in the OpenAI O1, the O1 era and DeepSeek era,
yeah,
people have figured out how to apply reinforcement learning to large language models, which sort of like brings back, like, so there's a sphere of like, if as you do more and more reinforcement, so okay, LLMs seem pretty good, useful and safe, but if you do more and more reinforcement learning on them, you're like being dragged away from that known good behavior, and eventually you could have some system that is dangerous.
Right. Right. Well, like philosophically.
Yeah.
What do you think of, you know, the community's mission now? Did it make sense? I mean, because the whole thing was, Tchaikovsky set out to create AI, right? And sort of the way I think about it is, the notion is, I'm going to create this, but I'm going to do it in a safe way.
Yeah. It depends on where in his timeline you go. Because, like, at first he was just like, the singularity is the only thing that matters. If it's humanity versus the machines, I'm on the machine side.
Yes.
And then around 2002-ish, he changed his mind.
Yeah.
Was like, oh no, this could actually kill everyone, and that would actually be bad.
But he kept going.
Yeah.
Does it make sense that he keeps going? Like,
well, he kind of... Well, because, like, at first the idea was, like, to keep going... Like, now, you know, I will create it safely.
Yes.
Because I am the only sane, rational person in the world.
Yes.
And then, I mean, he's basically given up on that now.
Right.
And so now the plan is, like, okay, the alignment is unavailable to our civilization. We need an international treaty to stop AI.
Right.
Which... no one really thinks is going to happen.
Right.
And so Yudkowsky and Miri's position is like everyone is going to die soon.
Right.
And I'm a little like, I see why they think that. I still put some, you know, I wrote the play blog post. I wrote those posts because like, I can still like, that worldview is plausible, but I see a few glimmers of hope in the large language model thing. That like Yudkowsky, like his counterargument, you know, I wrote these posts because like his counterarguments on this issue, on like this particular, like reasons why this particular AI trajectory might be okay-ish.
Yeah.
His counterarguments seem kind of bad.
At what moment do you feel like he changed his mind? And why?
I mean, I don't have any more information that's already in the blog post.
No.
Like, I can point you to the sequences links where he talks about it.
Got it.
I was not there.
Right.
I was 12 years old. 14.
Ed, did you ever talk to him about why he created the sequences? Like, was that articulated?
Yeah, I mean, so So the story he tells is that, I mean, so I haven't talked to him about, with this, I have not talked to him very much, but I have read, like, almost everything he's written. So he has talked about how, like, you know, he started out doing AI stuff, and then finding that, like, people made really bad arguments. It's like, okay, I'm going to back up and teach people how to argue from scratch. Yeah. Which sounds like a ridiculous, ludicrously arrogant thing, but I think it's the best thing he ever did. I don't think much of his modern work, but the sequences were great.
You feel like their aim was to...
Like, teach people about the art of systematically correct reasoning, and also, and, you know, as part of a side benefit of that, like, turn people, you know, tell, get people, like, tuned into the dangers of AGI.
So that was the main aim, right?
Yeah.
The dangers of AGI.
Yeah.
Let's get people tuned into that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, that's exactly what he did. It worked.
It worked.
If you feel like he kind of created a generation of people to deal with this problem,
well,
it certainly looks like.
I mean, so that's the. From his perspective, we are not at all competent to deal with the problem.
Right.
And so, from his perspective, he failed, and the world is over pretty soon.
Right.
I don't know, I have a little bit more optimism, but,
okay,
like...
Was there a moment when he decided that we're all doomed? Why?
I mean... Well, because it's funny, when you read his, like, stuff from, like, the mid-teens, I don't know what we call the decade, but, like, he would, like, would talk about, like, the probability of the singularity going well. He would, like, refuse to give a probability. He's saying, like, you know, it's, I don't need to give a pro, you know, I'm trying to maximize the probability, and that I don't. I'm trying to maximize that probability, and I don't need to partake, in order to, like, take the best actions, I don't particularly need to know what that number is, exactly.
Okay.
And then it's funny, because, like, in the more recent, starting with, April 1, 2022's Miri announces death with dignity strategy.
Yeah.
He starts saying, by the way, that probability is almost zero.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's not even going from I refuse to name a number to like the number is really, really low.
Yeah.
Like, it's maybe not even that much of a change.
Yeah.
It's like being more explicit.
I asked you this once before. Let me try again, see what you think.
Okay.
If you're talking to a layperson who has no familiarity with this world, how do you explain to them what the sequence is to people? Their way of describing that.
I mean, how to general methods to believe things that are true and do things that actually work?
And how does it go about teaching them?
Have you read it?
I haven't read all of it.
Okay.
I've read some of it.
Okay.
But pretend you're talking to someone who hasn't.
Yeah. There's just a lot of, like, little surprising things. There's little tricks of thinking that are obvious once someone explains them, but, like, a lot of, like, I'd never seen these particular things explained so clearly before.
What?
So, I think I mentioned this in our previous discussion, but like conservation of expected evidence, there's this like, if you knew what your probability estimate of something would be in the future, then you should already have that estimate now. So you should not be in the position of thinking like, I will change my beliefs in a predictable direction later.
Right. Got it.
But like it's subtle because there's also this thing where like there are situations where I'm trying to think of a good example, but like there's situations where you, in most possible worlds, you can expect your belief to creep upward,
right.
But it has to be balanced by a correspondingly small probability of like a big drop. So like the expected value has to be zero,
right.
But that doesn't mean the expected value has to be zero, the expected value can be zero because of like a large probability of a small change being balanced by a small probability of a large change on the other direction.
It's really about probabilities,
huh? Yeah, and probability isn't just for gambling. It's like, you know, we have these theorems that is like, this is the mathematically optimal way to reason about uncertainty. There's like Cox's theorem,
yeah.
And various other theorems.
Right, okay, got it. So why is this the best way to think about the AGI?
I mean, because it's the best way to think about everything. Like, that's what the theorems say. So, like, Yudkowsky specifically cites as, like, the book that turned him onto this was the physicist E.T. James has a book, Probability Theory, The Logic of Science.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, to some people, it probably just looks like this is just some random math textbook,
yeah.
But like it's like enshrined in our canon of like this is a it's a math textbook, but it also has like philosophical asides about how like this is the correct way to reason.
Okay. Got it. And then, you know, the end result of this seems to be like his initial philosophy was that the only thing that matters is protecting the world from death by AI.
And like, ideally, like, you know, like, before the we're all doomed, shut it all down phase, like,
right.
There's the idea of, like, we are going to, like, figure out how to solve friendliness.
Right.
And, like, end the world, end life as we know it in a good way.
Right. Okay.
And that turned out to be, like, vaporware.
Right.
Like, there was no progress there.
Right.
I mean, there were some cool like the logical induction stuff. Like Miri in the teens, like Miri published some like okay math and philosophy papers.
Yeah.
But like there's like a big gap between publishing some okay math and philosophy papers versus like definitively solving philosophy and morality and saving the world.
When you were with Miri,
I mean, I don't think I was with Miri,
okay.
Like I did some contract work for them as recently as 2011.
I see. Okay. Got it. But when you're working with them, around them, I mean, are they actually building AI? Like,
no.
His whole idea was to build.
So, well, the idea is, like, figure out the correct theory of AI, right? And then it turned out, like, clearly, like, the way things actually turned out
okay.
is not at all what you would expect if you like read what Yudkowsky was writing in 2007 and like assumed he was a prophet and knew and like foresaw everything. Like clearly what actually happened was completely different from what he was envisioning.
Right.
But like some people will point to that and say like, ah, well, this was all a bunch of junk and hooey and I still think the philosophy is pretty good.
I see.
And I still think, like, despite the glimmer of hope of, like, LLM-like AI actually being pretty safe, with caveats and conditions,
yeah.
Like, the high level picture of, like, the nature of mind and optimization that he was trying to paint
yeah.
doesn't really, it, LLMs don't actually invalidate that, the big picture.
Fair enough. I think there were important people who came out of that community and ended up doing important work in AI.
I mean, Cristiano is like the name that springs to mind.
Yeah.
Okay. There's certainly a bunch of people, like, people who work at Anthropic, like, I don't know what percentage of Anthropic
yeah.
employees have read the sequences,
yeah.
but it's probably pretty high.
Absolutely. When did you first meet Cristiano?
I mean, I don't know him that well at all. Like, the last time I saw him was at Alex Menon's wedding, which was, like, last year. Incidentally, that's also, like, the way I know... The reason I know this neighborhood is slightly familiar, because Alex Menon would host a mass seminar, like, in his living room over there.
What was Charles Fischer's relationship?
I mean, he wrote blog posts. Like, he's just, like, you know, on the internet, people are talking to each other, writing blog posts, and he was, like, one of the people who said things on the internet. In the meantime, like, he was, you know, he did his undergrad at MIT, he was a grad student at UC Berkeley, so, like, for me, this was just my weird internet future or something. Like, he was also, like, unlike me, and unlike a lot of my friends, he was also, like, actually a professional computer science person. Whereas I am finishing my undergrad degree in math at age 37.
Got it. Was it surprising to you when he showed up at OpenAI?
I don't think I was following that closely at the time.
What about Dario? What was his relationship?
I mean, you've asked me this before, and my answer at the time was still like, I don't really know Dario. Like, I assume he was, like, reading some of the same things, but, like, I never talked to him or... I mean, he actually gave... So I have, like, listened to his interview. He's been giving a few more press interviews lately. And he did mention that, like, he tries to stay off social media. And so, like, I guess he was a lurker. I don't know. I mean, he was also probably pretty busy because, like, he also had his own, you know, neuroscience or whatever background, or physics background. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'd love to, I gotta go do something else, but I'd love to talk more about this, and also about the Zizians.
Oh, yeah, I talked to some other reporters about that the other month.
How do you explain them?
They, not our fault. I don't know, because it was, so, like, the way I ended up talking to reporters, like, Ziz's memoir actually, like, my memoir mentions Ziz, like, a few times in passing. Yeah. Ziz's memoir has, like, 5,000 words directly about me and why I'm terrible. So for those conversations, I did ask for anonymity on background. But just, like, I don't know, what do you want to know? I knew these people in passing, like, 6 years ago.
Okay, all right, I might come back to you with that. I'd love to.
But, I mean, so some other journalists have, like, there was a, I don't remember the journalist's name, but the piece in Wired was pretty good.
Yeah, okay, I'll read that.
All right. And the Guardian piece was pretty good, too. I talked to the Guardian reporter, J. Oliver Conway.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to walk
back to the car here. Okay. I mean, I like your book idea better, because, like, I told to the journalist I was talking to, like, it's so unfortunate that this is, it's an interesting true crime story, but it's not, like, it's not the thing I want people to be paying attention to, because, like, the thing that's interesting in this area of idea space is the philosophy of AI stuff, and not the people who, like, misinterpreted the philosophy of AI into thinking that they should start a trans-vegan burger cult.
Dan Henry.
I did not know him. But, like, I mean, he was, like, influenced, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I read a newspaper profile of him that mentioned, like, he decided to go and he's decided to focus his career on AI safety after, you know, talking to 80,000 hours or something like that. I don't know. Not terribly big. It's a pretty, if I had to just wild guess, maybe 10 employees and some contractors or something, it's a small nonprofit. I mean, they have, as a nonprofit, they actually, file tax forms that have their employee list, I think.
Congratulations on going back to the degree.
Yeah.
Thanks for meeting. Sorry, I got to keep it short this time.
Okay.
Honestly, good luck with the degree.
Yeah, thank you. See you.